Today on Rockin' the Suburbs,
we finally make a visit to the P.O. box.
And it's a good thing, too. Those mail clerks were about to go postal on us.
Okay, Patrick, we are out on the deck again today.
Yes, we are. We're spoiled beyond belief.
So many beautiful days in a row.
It's deck amazing. Week. Yeah, yes. It really is. The weather's just been killer. Yes.
So, we're going to do fan mail today. We have we have some correspondence to get to, but, and the show, by the way, is Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And we love our listeners, and our listeners are so good to us.
Yeah,
and,
they are.
Not only do they correspond with us and comment on different episodes and, you know, usually nicely, but they also send us stuff, and we're going to get to that in a second here, too. But before we do any of that, I totally forgot. We have to do a Suburbs Pod game break.
Okay, game break.
Yeah.
Update.
Yeah, and whenever somebody wants to send us stinger music for that, we'll put that in here.
Da-na-na, da-na-na.
Yeah, but something not like that. It should be something
that's
more original. Yeah. But anyway, you know the official football club of Suburbs Pod is Loudoun United.
Loudoun United.
And in the second match of this USL season, and I was at this match.
You were in attendance.
Right down the road. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, Loudoun went down 2-1 to the New York Red Bulls.
That's a bummer. Yeah.
And it was pretty exciting. There was some early scoring, and then the Red Bulls won on a penalty kick.
Ew.
You know, so there's that.
That's too bad.
So right now we're at, if you look at the table, we're at 0 points.
I have a feeling they won't stay there all year. Yeah. They've got to get some
points. So there's that. And then, you know, I should also mention our Washington Spirits in the NWSL. Who also play some of their home matches at the same stadium as Loudoun United. And I'll be going to one of those in a few days.
Yeah.
Anyway, they opened their NWSL campaign with a 1-1 tie.
That's right.
At Orlando.
Mm-hmm. And I believe, as we record, they have a game this evening against the Louisville team.
That's right.
Yeah, so that'll be good to watch.
At Louisville.
Yep.
Racing Louisville is
Racing
their name,
Louisville.
Which is really cool.
Yeah, that is cool.
And that's the first time the Spirit will be there.
Right, in the sweet
because Louisville
sweet stadium
started
they
last. They entered the league this season, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So okay,
and they've got a new stadium out there. It's supposed to be great,
really beautiful. So there's that. And in that game, Washington Spirit versus Orlando, Alex Morgan scored a goal for Orlando. Right, people may know her from the World Cup.
She's well known.
All right, so there you go. That concludes that. Right now, we'll keep you updated
game
as
break.
The season progresses.
Sure, you're on the edge of your seats.
Yes. Now. Where are we starting here with the packages? Oh, we're going to go over here. We're going to do some of them today and some of them tomorrow.
Some of them
right?
tomorrow. And I just want to say a short disclaimer. It was not only irresponsible for the person who's in charge of the P.O. box not to get these packages a little earlier, but it was bordering on insane. Like, he may want to be to get some help.
Well, it was tough in the pandemic.
It was tough
to get over there.
Yeah.
So we have a backlog of stuff.
We had a large backlog. And I got to tell you, I went in to pick up some stuff, and the staff at our local post office was both angry and relieved.
Yes.
It was an interesting combination. But anyway, we got an incredible box from Kurt Gallagher.
Okay.
And I got to tell you, man, I don't even know where to start, Jim. There's so much stuff in here. But first of all, I'll hand you over that. We've got a flyer.
Oh, nice.
Right there.
Kurt
Isn't
Gallagher.
That nice?
Uh-huh. Because Kurt is a musician.
He is, Mr. Kurt. Yep.
He specializes in children's music.
That's correct.
He's a performer and he's a recording artist. You can see some of the stuff here. And Kurt Gallagher's Songs for Playful Children. Very nice.
Yep. And there's another version of that.
Here's where you can call for bookings.
Yeah. Slightly bigger version. And check this out. This looks like something that, you know, you might get done at the state fair or something. It's a really cool, like, line drawing of Kurt.
That's really nice.
Isn't that nice?
Wow.
And there's two of those. It's got Mr. Kurt music, and you can definitely tell from us seeing Kurt perform in the Hootenanny.
I'll put that up in the basement. That's really nice.
Jim, I'm telling you, there may be some fisticuffs over who's going to get some of this stuff.
Right.
It's so amazing. I mean, it looks like Kurt just loaded up some awesome stuff and threw it in a box, which we encourage people to do. Next, this is like Christmas morning. We've got a pair... Three sets of guitar strings.
Okay.
We're both guitar players, so I'm sure we can find a use for that.
Okay. Well, funny story. So I got back into playing guitar during the pandemic. It was one of the things
That's right.
I started doing. I hadn't played in many years. And I needed to change the strings on an electric guitar that I used. And I was like, I want to put new strings on this thing. But honestly, I didn't really know how to change strings. That's like how inexperienced I am as a guitarist.
Been
but actually, I've learned that that's actually not that uncommon. A lot of people don't like to change
strings
on a guitar because it's kind of hard. Anyway, point is, I contacted Kurt, and he walked me through it over Zoom.
Oh, did he really?
Yes,
that's
to change
fantastic.
My guitar strings.
Oh, beautiful.
And he was a great instructor on
that.
Wow. It was wonderful. So well, maybe that's why he's sending more strings.
Yeah, here's three sets of Extra Light D'Addario's that would go on an acoustic guitar, which is amazing. Next, Jim, we've got some magazines.
Oh,
okay?
Wow.
This is great. Now, I did look through these a little bit. Now, this is a copy of Uncut Magazine from 2003. It's featuring the story of The Clash.
Yeah.
How nice is that?
Yeah, very cool.
Here is a Mojo special edition on the history of ska.
Oh, wow.
How good is that? Here is a 2002 issue featuring the story of The Jam.
Wow.
And now this, to me, is very, very fascinating, Jim. We're going to have to share this, I believe. This is something that's really cool. And speaking of guitar playing, this is a Guitar Atlas, Guitar Styles from Around the Globe. This is how to play a variety of different African guitar styles.
I don't know if that's too much for
me. It's got some notation in there and some fingerings and everything.
Wow.
So, you know, maybe we'll share that and, you know, keep that as a resource. Okay. Now things are going to get tough, Jim. First off, we have got a couple of bundles of CDs.
Okay.
We may have to fight over
Oh, I have this collection already.
Oh, good.
The two-tone collection?
I do not have that.
Okay.
I do not have that. I would love to have that.
But what else we got? So it's a two-tone collection, a double CD.
Mm-hmm.
I have that already. But there's also Electric High Life Sessions from the Bokor Studios.
Uh-huh. Looks like some West African
and West African High Life Band is another CD.
Wow. So that's great stuff there. Now here, I mean, look at this. It is a album by Fastball. It doesn't have that one song, I know, but it's on there.
Okay.
Radio Jellyfish is another one.
Ooh, this is still sealed.
Yeah. The Candy Butchers. Don't know anything about them.
Nope.
I'm not even sure what that is. Dave Evans, maybe?
Yeah, Dave Evans, Take a Bite Out of Life.
Now, here is a record. I actually have both of these albums at home by a band called King Missile. I don't know if you remember them. But this CD compiles Fluting on the Hump and a Mystical, S-H-I-T. And it's on the Shimmy Disc label, produced by Kramer. And finally, the Brand New Heavies, Jim.
Oh, yeah, I remember them.
So this is a ton of CDs that Curtis sent along here. This is unbelievably nice. I can't even believe it. I'm in disbelief.
That's great. Okay.
Okay, and it gets better.
Wow, there's more.
There are DVDs and VHS tapes.
Oh, my goodness.
I'll pass those over to you and let you go through them.
All right. There's a VHS of Rushmore.
Yes.
Still sealed. I have Rushmore on DVD.
I do, too.
So, but I do still have a VHS
player. Oh, do you? So. Well, you better hang on to that because I don't have a working one.
Let's see. There's Harlem Street Singer, The Reverend Gary Davis Story. There is a movie called FUBAR. I don't know what that is.
Never heard of it.
Glenn Tilbrook, One for the Road.
Oh, nice.
Devo Live, 1980.
Whoa.
That's got to be cool.
That's going to be great.
And then Paul Weller, Hit Parade.
Oh, fantastic. So it's got a lot of Weller videos on there. This is like Christmas.
Oh, my goodness. It's like two discs of just Paul Weller.
Oh, my goodness.
That'll be great.
That's amazing. Yep. Now, we've also
including The Jam and The Style Council.
Wow.
I mean, it's all.
It's everything. Yeah. We've got some coasters. Maybe we should keep those for the for the communal recording space.
Yeah. We won't.
They've
we
got
won't,
some different things.
We won't tell you what's on the coasters.
No.
Okay.
We've got some wipes. It's something we can't pronounce on the show.
Again.
But
it's funny. Thank
it's an
Kurt.
Adult wife. A wipe. Yeah. And finally, Jim, this might be the one we're fighting over.
Oh, my goodness.
Parliament, two-disc set, Tear the Roof Off, 1974-1980. It looks like all the good funk is inside of that double set right there.
I know. It's like bursting.
Yeah, it is. Bursting with the funk. Yeah.
Wow.
On Casablanca Records. So even better, man.
Really nice.
Yeah, so we'll have to divide that up. But, man, Kurt, thank you so much. This was a huge box, and just everything inside of it is great. And Kurt's such a huge part of our community and such a talented musician. You know, I feel like if we ever put together a band, you know, of Suburbs Pod people, Kurt would probably have to be the leader. He'd have to be that Paul Schaefer guy that was over there kind of, you know, helping us go through all the tunes, you know, setting the key and just making sure we stayed on track.
He can play pretty much anything.
Yeah, he can.
You know, he's amazing. And He's in one of the videos that we made in the pandemic. He's in All Your Favorite Bands. He's a huge Dawes fan. And so he was the first guy I said, can you play these guitar parts? And man, did he ever.
And he wailed on that solo. Yeah. Really great. Thank you, Kurt, so much, man, for all that stuff.
Hey, I got something for you here, Patrick.
Oh, thank you, Jim.
This is part of a off-mic conversation had a while back. So the listeners don't know anything about this. But you were talking about a neighbor of yours who... I don't know if he had some connection to Toledo, my hometown, or whatever, but he knew
He used to live in Detroit, and that's he spent time in Toledo as well.
Okay, so he knew of a famous restaurant in Toledo, and you asked me if I knew of it, and I'm just like, of course I have. It's an institution. Such a big deal that it was even part of a plot in an episode of MASH.
Wow.
That's how long it's been around, you know, because that show was set in the 50s, and of course, Jamie Farr, who played Corporal Klinger, in real life is from Toledo, and his character was from Toledo. And so one point they ordered from Toledo. Somehow they got Tony Paco's food items sent shipped to Korea, right, or whatever. But anyway, Tony Paco's is still around. It's such a big deal. When you asked me if I had ever heard of this, I'm like, not only have I heard of it, but I even have some of their products in my pantry at this moment. And so, because every time I go there or my mother comes here to visit, she always brings some or I get
Tony
some. Or whatever. So good.
Wow,
but incredible. I have this stuff in my pantry. I can certainly get more. So I'm going to give this to you to try.
Lovely.
The two things I had right now are, we'll start with this. The Tony Paco's world famous chili.
Ooh, that looks great with beans.
Yeah. And
look
it's
at
in
that.
A can. It'll probably last a long while if you want to wait till winter or chili season or, you know, bust it open
anytime,
whatever you
want to do. Midnight.
Yep. And then here's some Tony Paco's barbecue sauce.
This is fantastic. This is right up my alley. Well, thank you, Jim. This is incredible. I'm hoping that at some point we'll get my neighbor to come on the podcast because he actually has operated restaurants all over the United States. And in one, he operated in the Deep Ellum area of Dallas. And he also booked the bands that played at the restaurant. So it was a restaurant pretty much that would close, you know, around 9 or 10, and then the bands would start. So... there's a good music connection there too.
Oh, very
cool.
So
hopefully we'll get my neighbor Mark to come on the podcast.
That sounds great.
Yeah, it'd be awesome.
Okay, so also I want to mention Charlie Mack is our listener from Toledo.
Okay,
we discovered recently, and if he's listening, Charlie, you probably know. I'm sure you go to Tony Paco's.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you could put a bug in their ear. They could be a sponsor.
Oh, that'd be great.
Show,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
They have like mail order, like online ordering.
Oh, yeah, I would imagine
these products. Yeah,
yeah, this looks great.
There
you
go. So get on that, Charlie. You'll be our ad rep.
Go, Charlie.
All right. Now, where are we here? Okay, let's get to the fan mail.
Okay, great.
And then we'll get to more packages and such tomorrow.
It's all exciting. Right.
Today, we're going to address some correspondence we got about the Ronnie James Dio.
Oh, okay.
Episode that we did with Mike Coley.
Fantastic.
Right?
Yep.
All right. Let's see here. Let's go to the phone line.
Okay.
Hi, Jim, Patrick, and thanks to all the interns. It's Jim Fleischer, and I'm calling in about the Ronnie James Dio appreciation show with Mike Coley, and I'm really grateful that he did that. Quick story. I saw Black Sabbath more than 40 years ago at Lebanon Valley Speedway when I was a young metalhead. It was so long ago that you could bring 12 packs of beer into the raceway where the concert was being held. So I don't remember anything about the set list or really much about the day, actually. But what I do remember is there was a moment during Sabbath set when people in the crowd passed their beer cartons to a certain spot very near the stage and created a funeral pyre that was both enormous and a little bit scary in the middle of a crowd. And I still have the indelible image of Dio throwing the horns through these flames in my mind. And it was a great day. And long live metal. And, of course, death to false metal. And thanks for the show. Bye.
I don't know what you say to that.
Oh, that's amazing.
That is an amazing story. Yeah. I can't imagine, even though I, you know, was around during those times, you could bring a 12-pack of beer into a Sabbath or into the raceway.
That's what I was going to say. So for people who maybe only know, you know, maybe some younger listeners who only know nowadays, like sort of the festival circuit, the festival explosion that has happened, right? And it's, you know, you have various stages and this giant bill of all these bands, but it's very controlled, you know, multiple days, right? But it's also very controlled and very locked down and everything, right? When we were kids, I remember, although I never did this myself. I kind of wish I had, but shows at the Speedway. I think every community had that kind of thing, right? Because it was like there was always some racetrack, you know, out a little ways out of town, where you could do a big rock show without bothering anybody, right?
Because they're used to the noise anyway. So,
that's right. Yeah. That's right. And they had a lot of space, and like I said, you know, no noise restrictions or any of that kind of stuff. And they were usually hard rock, heavy metal kind of shows, right? And there'd be, I don't know, 3-4 bands on the bill, right, playing through the day. And people would go to the show. For my case, it was like Toledo Motor Speedway or whatever. Like, that's where you would do go to these big hard rock shows. And I'm sure they were very loose on the rules of these kind of things, right?
I remember a long time ago on our show, Jim, your good friend and my acquaintance, Bill Horn, told a story when we were at a brewery, I think in Leesburg. He told a story about going to see a show at a raceway.
Yeah.
And that was pretty incredible. But I will say, it's kind of a form of recycling to pass your beer cartons up and just burn them. We're not going to clog up the trash. We'll just turn them into ash.
That's right. So good. All right.
Death to false metal.
Yes. Thanks, Joe, for calling in.
Thanks, Joe.
We'd love to hear from you. Yes. Okay. Here's another caller.
Hey, Jim and Patrick. This is Bob Peterson. I just got done listening to the Ronnie James Dio episode, and I found it very interesting. It got me to relive some post-traumatic stress from my high school days, dating back to when I wrote a record review for Holy Diver for the school newspaper. I gave it a negative review, and which was kind of surprising. I was a heavy metal fan, and I liked Black Sabbath, albeit I liked Ozzy better than Ronnie James Dio. But nonetheless, I listened to the album with a friend of mine. It was his album. And after one listen, we were kind of underwhelmed. We didn't think it was as good as Mob Rules or Heaven and Hell. So based on that, I was destined to write a record review for the paper. I think it was my first one. And I wanted to make an impression like the next Lester Bangs or Robert Christgau. So I decided to be clever and snarky. And I made some offhanded comment like it was a bunch of tired, recycled Black Sabbath riffs. Well, after the paper came out, I got a lot of backlash. I got 3 or 4 hostile letters from some Ronnie James Dio fans, and they were quite emphatic about how they thought I was worthless and shouldn't be writing music reviews. And it also made me quite scared. I don't know if there was a real threat or a perceived threat, but for the rest of the school year, I avoided the smoking area outside the school where the majority of the people out there, I'm sure, were Ronnie James Dio fans. My high school was a lot like freaks and geeks that you guys just talked about, and I was definitely more in the geek camp than the freak camp. So that one negative review of Ronnie James Dio got me running scared for a year. I got to say now that I actually kind of like the album, and I don't think it was as bad as I made it out to be. So that was a regret. But anyways, it was good to hear about that album again. And
he just got cut off there for a second. But anyway.
Yeah. Well, it's great to hear from Bob.
That's so great. And, you know, I think anyone who has ever attempted to write a record or a concert review can relate to that kind of story, right? You always get, the backlash from the fans if you do anything negative at all.
And, man, that's got to be tough with your first one.
That's right.
Coming right out of the gate.
That's
you can't go near the smoking area for a whole year.
No. That's right.
Well, let's hope that exists somewhere in the archive, Bob, so we could read that.
Yeah. Okay, so thanks for those calls. And then just a couple more things we have here.
Okay.
Just a couple quick comments on Ronnie James Dio here. Someone tweeted us at Catch Groove.
Okay.
But apparently also goes by the name Axel.
Okay.
Says, what an awesome episode. Great research by Mike Coley. I knew Dio primarily from Holy Diver and Rainbow.
Mm-hmm.
Love the backstory on Ronnie. Never really dug into the Ronnie James Dio Sabbath material. Listening to Heaven and Hell tonight, and it is fantastic.
Mm.
Thanks for the great episode. So thank you, and glad to turn you on to that if you missed it, right?
And Mike's research was impeccable. It was really great.
It was just so much fun.
Yeah.
And then Trip Bacon out there in Oregon, he said, I'm on a run today listening to the episode. Rainbow in the Dark interlude comes on, and I immediately throw up horns, as I always do when a Dio song plays.
Nice.
And in this case, I am headed running down the street. True story.
That's so beautiful.
Yes.
Picked up the pace.
That's right.
Well, we've been enjoying Tripp's awesome mix that he sent to us.
Yes.
Especially the extended cassette version. So thank you, Tripp, for that.
Yes. So,
and one day I hope to be able to run again, but I don't know if that'll ever happen because I got to get rid of my pandemic sluggishness.
Well, it's funny. Now that I'm fully vaccinated, I just within the last few days started going back to the gym.
Yeah.
I've been putting it off and putting it off. And so
getting started is the hardest part.
But I've been getting back to that. So now
excellent.
Next step is to eat better.
That's another big challenge.
Yes, yeah. That's right.
That's why you gave me all the Tony Packa.
That's right. There you go. Here's some chili and barbecue. Here's stuff filled with sugar and
you know,
cornstarch.
Right? Yeah.
All right. So tomorrow, we have some more fan mail stuff to get to and some more packages to get to. And we appreciate it. Oh, and by the way, I noticed you when you did the Kurt Gallagher stuff that you pulled out this card.
Yeah.
Should we mention that today or tomorrow?
We should mention it today, I think. It's just, we want to say thank you to Paul Trapp, as always, who was so thoughtful. He wrote us a postcard, said, "Can it be true, Jim and yourself podcasting again from the same room? Enclosed some refreshments for the reunion, Jim." And he sent us, oh gosh, a big old pile of beers. I mean, just
many
tons.
To each of us separately.
Right, which is incredible.
So those came not to the P.O. box, but he had our
separate addresses.
Our addresses, and he sent them there. And we each got a big box of Utah beers.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate that your sentiment that would be for our first recording session back together, but I got to tell you, Patrick, I'm running kind of low.
Yeah, they didn't quite make it. we cracked into them a little early.
Yeah, excellent stuff. That black lager especially was really good. I just had that last night.
Untah Brewing Company had black lager. They also had a yard sale winter lager that I'm looking forward to trying. I also like the Salt Lake Lager and Silver Reef Brewing Company out there in Utah. It's some good stuff. And then there was one that I thought was pretty funny. Wasatch Brewing, I believe, they had a polygamy porter. So if you're going to be in Utah, that's a clever...
Own it, right?
Clever, way
well,
to go.
Well, I don't want to go too much into this, but I don't think it was that long ago that there were a lot of restrictions on alcohol sales.
That's right.
In Utah.
Yeah, you had to join a club or something, right?
They didn't even have bars that you could go into. The loophole was that they could operate social clubs, and serve alcohol by the drink or what have you, in these social clubs. So in order to enter a bar, you had to first sign up to be part of the club, and I don't know if you had to pay some
probably small had to pay a fee
or something like that, and that was how they got around it. But I think all that's gone now.
Well, yeah, it
so
seems
now they
like
have breweries and
joined,
what have you, so all of that. But anyway,
well,
appreciate
Paul,
it so much.
Paul has been out there in Utah, for the past while now, many months, and he's enjoying all this stuff. He also sent us a flyer for a free.
Yes, I got one of those too.
Dinosaur bone from Moab, Utah, at the Moab Rock Shop.
Yes,
Lynn Ottinger's Moab Rock Shop, right there on North Main,
Rock
folks.
Shop.
Yeah, just go check them out. They're open pretty much all day. I think 24/7.
All right, excellent. Okay, let's get more of this tomorrow, all right?
Sounds great.
Should we mention, though, if people do want to send us items, we will now be checking
more regularly. The postal officials made it very clear to me that if I didn't do a better job, things would happen.
So what is the address? Do you have that all
hand? You want to send that to 800 West Broad Street, box 6577, Falls Church, Virginia, 22040.
There you go. All right, we appreciate it, and we have a lot of reading and listening to get to.
Yes, we do. We're spoiled.
All right. It's Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
Talk to you all tomorrow.
Even after leaving those packages at the post office.